As the hours dwindle to the New Hampshire primary, White House aspirations rest with the voters in one of America's smallest, most educated states, a place where the population is almost as white as the snow that covers the White Mountains. All of the leading campaigns are focused on New Hampshire's famously finicky and late-deciding voters, who hold the crucial sway in an election that will surely winnow the large Republican field and determine how serious is the Bernie Sanders challenge to Hillary Clinton for the Democratic nomination. After months of a shadow campaign played out in the news and social media, the endless fundraisers and the bigwig endorsements, decision day has arrived. New Hampshire, unlike the insider-dominated Iowa caucus, is the first actual election of the presidential cycle. Turnout is usually well above 50%, and independents can cast ballots in either party's contest. What should juice turnout in both primaries is that, for the first time since 2000, there's neither an incumbent president nor a consensus leader. Among Republicans, Donald Trump, the mogul who's never held any elective office, has been leading in public opinion surveys, but he's a polarizing figure who has not built a substantial turnout-the-vote effort, says Andrew Smith, pollster and political scientist at the University of New Hampshire. Florida Senator Marco Rubio was making a last-minute surge, according to polls. Ted Cruz, the Texan who won Iowa with support from Christian evangelicals, will be hard-pressed to reprise that finish in a New England state with few fundamentalist religious voters. Tomorrow will also decide the future on the Republican side of three governors, Jeb Bush, John Kasich, and Chris Christie. It's difficult to imagine all three having viable campaigns after the polls close. On the Democratic side, the contest between Sanders and presumptive frontrunner Clinton has become as chippy as a UNH Providence College hockey game. Clinton has abandoned her strategy of ignoring Sanders and focusing on Republicans. Sanders, from neighboring Vermont, pressed Clinton to a virtual tie in Iowa. He's been leading in pre-primary polls, but even his allies acknowledge he must win to keep his underdog quest alive. The challenge for Clinton is to keep the race tight enough to avoid the perception of a blowout. Clinton needs to cut into a slice of Sanders' lead among the young and liberal. The Democratic race is sugared off, as they say in New Hampshire, to Clinton's pragmatism against Sanders' idealism. There is a New Hampshire of primary myth, a Norman Rockwell tableau of fleece-clad voters. These voters make their choices after careful listening and personal questioning of each candidate in union halls, high school gyms, and diners. But these days, most New Hampshire voters get their information from the media, the internet, and ubiquitous television spots just like everyone else. The real winners are chosen by the vote-rich communities along the Massachusetts border. Yet, inside the myth is a truism. The contest is celebrating its 100-year anniversary, and it's embedded into the state's civic culture as deeply as Mount Washington. Locals take it seriously. They know this. Nobody gets to be the most powerful person in the world without submitting to primary rituals, which mean campaigning for president as if you were running for state rep or mayor. After this contest, everything about the presidential campaign changes. The field is sifted. The campaign quickly goes national, and candidates no longer spend much time in any one state. They don't greet voters personally unless it's to get on television. The race becomes a blush of airport rallies, social media, and TV appearances, as scripted as a sitcom. But until the votes trickle in tomorrow night, there is New Hampshire. Let's hope, for democracy's sake, there's always New Hampshire.